I just want to talk with you a few minutes about healing rooms, and I'm reflecting here mostly on my experience at Bethel Church in Redding, California. When I was there in Redding, I was one of the workers, one of the people that served in the healing room ministry there. They have what I believe to be the largest healing room ministry in the world. There are about 1,000 volunteers. We were on a rotating schedule. I served every other week. I think most of the other workers served about every other week as well. We would minister to between 250 to times 400, 500 people on any given Saturday morning. And so it was just an amazing experience. I saw some of the most dramatic miracles I've ever seen in my life in that setting. So here's basically how it works. I'm going to walk you through the experience of a person who would come to the healing rooms and what they encounter step by step through the process, and that give you a picture of what this looks like. Okay, let's follow now a person that comes with an affliction. They arrive and they come into kind of a waiting room area where they're given a clipboard where they actually write down, you know, their name, some basic contact information, and they describe what it is they're dealing with. They can put down, you know, more than one thing that they're actually needing healing from if they want. There's also like a disclaimer statement there that the ministry there is not claiming to be a hospital or a doctor's office, or that the things that take place there do not take the place of medical attention. Okay, they do not replace the need for that. All right, those kind of disclaimers. All right, and then they're taken back into a classroom area. You don't always have to do it exactly this way, but this is the way Bethel did it. Back into a classroom area where there was some basic teaching, faith-building teaching and testimony about healing, and just to build the faith of people. Very, very concise, no more than 15, 20 minutes of just teaching and encouragement from Scripture regarding healing. And while this is going on, some of the trained personnel in the room are just going around just quietly praying with people, soaking them in prayer, getting them ready for the whole experience. And then after they left that classroom area, they would go into an area where worship is going on, and people are just waiting in the presence of the Lord. And everybody's given a number or a group number. And while they're in there worshiping and just enjoying the presence of the Lord, somebody would come on the microphone and say, "Those that are in group C, you can come now into the prayer room." And so those people in that particular group would then be escorted into this prayer room. They come into the prayer room, and there are teams of people, teams consisting of two or three trained personnel, people trained in prayer, that would pray with each individual. All right, and the team would look at the clipboard that's been handed to them, and they would see what the person has been is dealing with. And I kind of left out an important part of this. It's not like the afflicted person's carrying that clipboard with them all the time. Those are turned in, and then basically when those individuals leave that worship area and come into the prayer room, they're seated in there. But then the prayer team, consisting of two or three people, will then walk over and select a clipboard and call out the name of the person, or go and find that person in the seating area. Then bring them to the place in the floor where they're standing. Usually they're standing. You can also do this with people seated in a chair. It doesn't really matter the posture necessarily. But then you would have three praying with each one. Usually there is one that's the most experienced prayer worker there that is doing the face-to-face ministry. You'd have another to be there in supportive prayer. And usually the third one was an apprentice, someone that's just been introduced to this ministry, and they're just learning by observing. So you have one on the team that's observing, just quietly praying. The other one that's giving supportive prayer, and then the person that's actually leading the healing ministry encounter, okay? So you ask the person, you know, you might read from the sheet there, you know, what they've written down, and you just confirm verbally with them, is this what you would like to receive prayer for? And sometimes people might want to get into a prolonged backstory. If at all possible, guide them away from going into a long, drawn-out backstory. It's really not necessary. Brings too much focus on the affliction and not enough on the healing. Okay? You want to keep this very solution, breakthrough-oriented, okay? So then, after the person has briefly shared, then you go through the same steps we went through and as it relates to ministering healing in a church service or in a Walmart or Kmart or Target. You know, we talked about that in another lesson, how to actually go about that. You've asked them, you've interviewed them, what they're there for prayer for. Then you ask permission to touch them. May I touch you on the shoulder? And then you begin by just a short prayer or a prophetic declaration. You just begin. This is not the time for lengthy prophecies. They're there for healing. But you prophetically declare or speak healing over them, and you let the Lord do the work. Okay, this is the Lord doing the work. Okay, you're not having to do the work in this. And then you ask them to test it out. If there's been no improvement, you maybe go after it again. You can do this, you know, maybe two or three times, going after it again and again. But usually by that time, either you're seeing improvement, total healing, or you sense the Holy Spirit releasing you from going any further, okay? But it's very important to end this on a very positive note. You don't want that person leaving feeling like, wow, I must be the scum of the earth, nothing happened. No, you minister God's love to them. You don't make excuses for why they weren't healed. You don't try to come up with reasons for it or anything like that. So you know what? God greatly loves you, and I want you to start paying attention to the next 48 hours. You may start seeing improvement over the next 48 hours. If that happens, even if it's a small bit of improvement, just start thanking God for that. And so, you know, things like that. You want to close it out positively. The entire ministry encounter probably should take no more than, it can be as short as 10 minutes. It can be as long as 20 minutes. It does not need to be a long, drawn out thing in this type of context. Again, I spoke about this in another teaching. The type of prayer that's just a travailing, agonizing kind of prayer is not the thing to be doing in this kind of setting. Those kind of prayers need to be prayed fighting the battle, so to speak. You fight the battle in the prayer closet, you won't have to fight nearly as hard when it comes to the ministry encounter, okay? So after that has been completed, make sure you get that person's testimony, all right? And usually at Bethel, we had a way set up for people to give their testimony, either a recorded testimony, audio recording, or video recording, usually audio. We write it down. We always protect the confidentiality of that person. We don't leave that ministry setting going out telling others, you know, oh, John Doe from such and such a place was here. And no, this is a very confidential type of thing. We don't go out here and blab it. We don't just blast specifics and details over social media. It's okay to, in a general sense, that doesn't give away the identity of people, to rejoice in what God is doing, but you protect them in that. And one thing that Bethel did that was an added bonus on top of this is after people would leave the prayer room, they were invited to go into another class session. They didn't have to, but they were invited to go into another class session that had to do with keeping your healing, sustaining your healing, and walking in divine health beyond that ministry encounter. Well, if it's truly God healing them, then why would they have to go to a class about keeping your healing or sustaining your healing? Well, here's the thing. Sometimes after a person has received a touch from God for healing, the enemy will try to bring that thing back on them. They need to know how to resist that. Or, here's another thing. Sometimes the body naturally has to adjust to the healing. And other areas of discomfort may occur as the body is compensating for this change that has just taken place in the body. So, and also, healings can come in surges of God doing something powerfully. And then it may seem like it's coming back, but then there's another wave of the touch of God, and another wave until the healing is totally 100% done. Okay, so sometimes there's a need for some teaching right after, just some encouragement regarding the sustaining of healing in the bodies. Okay, now that's kind of my testimony of having been involved in the healing room ministry at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Just one more example of how this type of ministry can take place.